Coming up on All About Android this week, we discuss Google I/O's imminent return. It's literally next week. It's right around the corner. The disappearing Android distribution dashboard. Is it a conspiracy? We don't know, but we talk about it. OnePlus 7 Pro, Red Magic 3, ad fraud in the Play Store, Mario Kart Tour, your emails and voicemails, and more. All About Android is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Behind the Tech, a podcast with Microsoft CTO Kevin Scott. He talks with tech heroes, interesting people, and folks who have made our modern world possible. Subscribe to Behind the Tech where you listen to your podcasts today. And by ZipRecruiter, hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/android. And by Capterra, find the right tools to make an informed software decision for your business. Capterra is software selection simplified. Visit Capterra's free website at capterra.com/AAA. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode 418, recorded on Tuesday, April 30th, 2019, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, the three of us, or is it the four of us?
Oh my gosh.
Because David Immel is joining us.
Who's this?
For the first time. David Immel from Android Authority and Globetrotter. You are basically a Globetrotter.
Yes.
This is what you were telling me before the show.
Yes, yes.
You travel the world. What is the quote from, is it Pulp Fiction? Traveling the world like Kane from Kung Fu?
Like Kane from Kung Fu, exactly.
Yes, you travel the world like Kane from Kung Fu.
Exactly that way.
Yeah. Yep. Right on. It's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to be on. I've been trying to get on for a while, but my schedule keeps mixing up and they had to fly. I was supposed to be on 2 weeks ago and then the day of they were like, we need you to go to Canada. Because Samsung Galaxy Fold, and I was like, okay, so
yeah. When Samsung calls about the Galaxy Fold, you drop everything and you go where the fold is at.
Jason, you fold everything and then you pack it, and
everything
then
else
go,
folds right? beneath you. Yeah.
Are you disappointed with the news that has befallen the fold?
No, I mean I'm happy that they're making it better.
Yeah.
Like it was cool to use in person, but if 3 to 4 review units were going to just break randomly, and that's not even with peeling off the screen protector, then it's probably good that they're taking the time to actually strengthen a display. So
yeah, maybe a little bit.
I don't know, man. The whole foldable category is ruined now. No one will trust it.
No, that's all it took was Samsung's first effort.
Yep.
Before it even released, and now they're just all going to give up now.
Yep.
Although I saw that the Royal Flex Pie or whatever it's called is sold out.
Oh,
I don't know how many they had for sale, but they said it sold out.
It's probably all Huawei buying them up so that they can just try to figure out how it works.
That's certainly possible. Certainly possible. Well, it's great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks.
Super stoked to get you on. You're going to be at Google I/O next week.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to be there.
Flo's going to be Google I/O next week. I'm going to be at Google I/O next week.
Yep.
I'm really sorry, Ron.
Ron's having a birthday next week.
That's true. It makes up for it.
For my birthday, I'm not going to Google I/O. No, I'll make it there. I'll make it there someday. We'll see. Someday.
Rob,
I never told the story on the show where last year I came very close to attending Google I/O, like in a professional capacity, but the deal didn't happen. And so,
dang it.
But yeah, someday.
I look forward to the Google I/O where we can hang out at Google I/O and you can see what it's like.
Here's the thing.
New facility.
I can cop to the fact that I'm waiting for it to come back to San Francisco. Then I'll go. I'm not going to Mountain View. Come on.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think Moscone.
It's like Google Disneyland. Like it's just a long day on your feet, like walking in weather that's constantly changing, and there's long lines for everything.
Yeah,
this is true.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. This is all just an elaborate tease for the news block where we're going to talk about Google I/O. So, Victor, let's go to the news.
This is the last day I can say the most famous words from Justin Timberlake, because it's going to be May.
What?
Okay, Victor, I'm sorry.
Is Flo the only one that would know
just
that?
Justin Timberlake. It was NSYNC. Okay.
Okay, fine. NSYNC, whatever.
Singing that song.
Victor, there's an old adage I learned in the content game, which is know your audience.
No, well, I thought I'm you here. Would know it. Now wait a minute. So Justin Timberlake was NSYNC Justin Timberlake? Or like Timberlake was from NSYNC,
there
right?
There were five of them and Justin was the other lead one.
Okay, this is not a detour I want to take.
I'm just saying
David's with me.
The hell I'm crossover
boy bands, yeah.
Either way it's going to be May.
Right. True. Tomorrow it will be May.
No, Victor, you missed the it's going to be Mayhem. So there you go. It's going to be Mayhem.
By the way, Maytag has completely appropriated that song for its advertising. I saw that commercial three times today while watching 90210 on Hulu.
Yeah, apparently Maytag. Well, yeah, you're right. This is how we talk about NSYNC on the show. Maytag, which is totally Android. No, it's just kidding. Let's talk about Google I.O. because apparently... it's next week and we're all about to go crazy.
Somehow it's next week already.
Somehow it's right around the corner. Alphabet had their earnings call, by the way, had some relatively related tidbits to reveal there. First one being that yes, the fact that the Pixel 3a and 3 axel date happens to be the same as the keynote is because we will hear about this in the keynote. That's kind of what we figured, but apparently they made a reference to that in the earnings call. Second, that they were going to have a quote hardware team announcement, which is what they're talking about here, which makes me wonder, is it going to be just the 3a or are we going to see other things too? Are we going to see perhaps
like new Nest products?
The Nest products. Yeah. They mentioned Nest. What do you think?
I think they're going to integrate Nest products there. Yeah. Cause like, that's been a key point for them that they haven't really been able to fully integrate yet. And like they just add features like Works with Assistant and stuff. But until they start that branding, it's not really going to be truly Google products. So,
Google and branding, though. This
I don't know if it can be Google. I think they're going to have to keep it Nest if they're going to do this home route. And I don't know.
Yeah, we might hear more about this at I.O.
They can put felt on them. I'll be happy.
Someone actually made a very good point on Twitter about that, actually, because I was ranting about the annoyance of the Nest integration of Google Home Hub becoming that or whatever. And they continued to make the point that basically, he said the only reason it was Radvolk on Twitter said, I think the only reason there's a Nest Hub is that the Nest Hub has a camera. The Google Home Hub does not. The reason for the name change is that the camera on the home would be a big panic regarding privacy. Putting Nest on it would be no big deal because people trust Nest and all that sort of stuff where they're wary of Google. So that's a fair reason. And I still think it's a play to just trick people who know Nest and trust Nest to buy the product, which is fine. I still have problems with the whole fracturing of the product line.
Yeah.
So. They could be integrating the Nest Cam IQ, because I know that's like a technology that's somewhat, they keep that like in the Nest line of products, which is like the doorbell and the security cameras. They can tell between faces. So I wouldn't be surprised if they launch some sort of like premium Nest Hub product of some sort with the assistant, and then it had all these fancy features that the Nest security products have, so that you can integrate all that within an I mean it's all about the ecosystem, baby. So I would imagine
probably keeping it out of the Google branding is a decent idea. I mean, it's not as bad as like the Facebook camera that they launched that literally no one bought.
The portal.
Yeah, because
no, the people know, that I, have I, the portal I, say they love it.
I know someone who has it and swears by it. I know someone in my family's parents got it for all their kids so they could stay in touch, and they use it all the time.
Yeah, but when are they going to shut down the servers, though?
Hey, that's the question. Yeah. And then you have this very large screen that you can do nothing with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for me, I mean, the Nest stuff aside, to move on for the Google Pixel 3a and the 3a XL, it was the admission or the whatever, the copping to the fact that they're having a hard time selling Pixels, you know, just kind of further, because this also I got a direct email from Google offering the Pixel for like 200 off or something like that. Yeah. I was like, oh man, they really are not being able to sell these, which is frustrating because it's such a great phone. But I've been saying since the Nexus 6, right? Like Jason, you can attest to this, that Google, in addition to the high-end flagship phone, I want a mid-range phone and see what Google could do in selling a mid-range phone. So I'm glad that they're finally going to come down to earth with the 3A and the 3A XL and see what a affordable phone can do in the marketplace.
Yep. We'll find out about that at Google I.O. Definitely turning Google I.O. more into a hardware announcement.
That's weird because they were really backing away from that. Yeah, everyone every year is always like, are they going to announce the new Pixel? Are they going to announce new hardware at I.O.? And like, everyone says no. Because they
don't do that anymore.
Yeah, it's like WWDC. It's a month before. It's a software event. Like
they don't announce hardware at Google I.O. like they once did.
Yes!
Relic in
the
Nexus.
The
Relic.
What's that? Was the skydiving Google I.O.?
Was the skydiving Google I.O. the one with Google Glass?
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Oh, I get them all muddled together.
So the skydiving one, the one with Google Glass?
The skydiving one was with Google Glass, but I'm pretty sure that was the same one as the Nexus Q because I went to that one and I have a Nexus Q. And yeah, and that was the first time we saw the glass in use with those weirdo skydiving. And also, that was at the Moscone Center, let me tell you. Crazy things happen in San Francisco.
Yeah. Oh, yes, totally. Once they went to Shoreline, things got really boring.
Yeah.
They also, if you remember, Google I.O. announced this piece of hardware. Yeah.
I remember
cardboard.
They ran out of that. I wasn't even able to get one.
Let's see if I can.
That was
remember
fun
how to
and exciting at the time.
You go.
It
like
was.
That.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Right.
To go back to the Nexus Q, by the way, if you want a Nexus Q, they're available on eBay for about $130 mint in the box.
Oh, and here I was thinking they become total collector's items.
They are. It's
$130. That's a collector's item.
I guess
rare Google item. So there it is.
What about the Nexus 7? This is the Google I.O.
RIP. Yeah. Although it's more the second gen one that's RIP.
Yeah,
I love that.
This is RIP because it has a crack in the bottom. Yeah.
I love the second gen. It had the nice soft touch back. So
is this
good.
The second gen or the first gen?
This is the first gen.
This is the first gen,
It's a harder plastic.
And it definitely an I.O. edition because it was the white back.
Yeah.
And what else do I
so
have?
So cool.
Sorry, I got inspired right before the show. I was like, this is a return to hardware. And then, of course, the Nexus 5, which I don't think they didn't announce this, the Nexus 5 at Google I.O., but this was definitely a giveaway.
It was the fall of 2012.
It was definitely a giveaway in 2013, I think.
By the way, Jason, when you refer to the Nexus 5, please refer to it appropriately as the greatest Android phone of all time, the first entrance in the All About Android Hall of Fame, the Nexus 5.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry,
Rod. They still use in app developer screenshots, by the way. They still use that silhouette.
Yeah. A friend of mine used the Nexus 5 until about a month ago, and his battery just stopped working.
Wow, it just stopped working. Right until the very end.
Yeah. I also almost bought one of those in college just with my own money because I wanted it so bad.
Here, you want to wear one for the rest of the show? No,
I don't know about the
kidding.
Rest of the show, but I'll try it on.
Yeah. The battery is most definitely not charged in that Google Glass.
Well, it wouldn't do much anyway.
No, you're right. It wouldn't. You could take a picture with it, a very substandard picture.
$1,000 for this. That's crazy.
More. $1,500.
Yeah, $1,500.
Hey, that was cutthroat at the time, okay?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. High tech.
That was like 7 years ago. Technology has really changed in the last 7 years. Has shrunk.
Yeah.
That's true. It really has. I really like
that. I mean, that Nexus Q, all that stuff is inside a little hockey puck shaped device now that you just plug into your HDMI port. The back of your TV.
Yep, that is so true. Although you don't get the amplifier and you know your analog speaker outputs.
I know, but everything is sound bars now. You don't need.
Oh, totally.
You don't need all those anymore.
You didn't need these then. No one was.
Yeah, no one really knew.
Those. I know those were such a question mark. That was crazy.
Anyways, walk down Google hardware memory lane there. I'm excited to get back to it. I gotta say, I'm interested to hear what they have to say. All right, Ron, you got the next one.
Yeah, so with Google I.O. on the eve of Google I.O., all eyes are on Android Q, as we're going to hear a lot more about it. But Android Q's focus on privacy, if you've been looking at the new operating system, includes a feature called scoped security. And what this is basically it's a file storage sandbox for each app, which is closed off from access by other apps. And it includes a compatibility mode for apps installed prior to the Android Q beta update. So it seems like a good idea. But users found that if they uninstall and reinstall the app, that compatibility mode is disabled, locking them out of their files, which really isn't very helpful.
Not very good.
Yeah, so developers have been really vocal about this major change to the file permission structure of Android. So Google has decided to push this requirement for this to next release to give developers time to plan around it. So, you know, being serious about security, but you got to make sure it works and functions correctly. And look at that Google, that Android Q logo.
We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, we will talk about that in a second. But yeah, so this is interesting. This is the process. I like the step that Google's taken with the operating system now, where they put it into the wild, have people kick the tires, get feedback, and then actually make real changes to it based on that feedback. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah. So, and also this feature kind of brings to my mind the long-standing conversation around what makes Android Android. If files don't have access, or if apps don't have access to all the files in a file structure in the way that Android has historically granted access to this, like,
yeah,
developers, you know, are up in arms on this because suddenly it really it tends to really break how their apps are working, right? And they need to rewrite things. And I think a lot of users would appreciate this approach to security, because it makes sense to me, yeah, as a user, that this app shouldn't have access to the files from this app, because maybe I don't want to grant that permission between those apps. And I think before on Android, this was very easy. This would make it more difficult. But is that the kind of switch, the kind of, you know, move away from security that makes things less Android? You know what I mean?
I think it's a weird balance, because didn't they also, they removed the ability for apps to toggle Wi-Fi on and off, which is like a huge issue.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a big thread about this in r/Android, like immediately after they put it out. And basically it makes it so apps, like automation apps,
right,
it makes it really hard for those to work. And
yeah,
like how they're
already really hard Tasker to pair.
Yeah, oh, Tasker. Totally. Yeah, yeah,
apps like Tasker are getting more and more, restricted.
Yeah, so like I see Google wanting to move towards a more privacy centric focus because they want to make the Pixel more like an iPhone.
Yep.
But like you said, like what makes Android Android? The ability to like create these systems that just do things for you. Like automation is like one of the key parts of Android that people love.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we're moving away from this and more towards like a consumer centric, like just do it and it works and that's it, you don't mess with it. Like I don't even really change the launcher on my phone anymore.
No,
I used to flash ROMs every day
totally.
And now I don't even care.
Nope.
So I don't know. It seems like Google kind of sees that and just is trying to push security a little harder.
So Cousin of Zha in chat, I think, has kind of a good perspective on the people who don't want this to happen. He says, scope storage is the first step to removing the file system from users. Now it'll be like iOS, where file managers will have to have their own in-app file system.
I guess
what I'm thinking is there's the vocal minority, which we are indeed a part of, who are really, you know, involved in Android and would understand why this may or may not be a good thing, or may or may not be a bad thing. But then there's the absolute majority, which is the rest of the world, the billions of users who have no care whatsoever in their mind. They don't even know. They don't even care. So who should Google? And maybe it's not as black and white as that. Maybe there's a way to appeal to both sides, and we're just not being presented with that option. But if you were in Google's position, which camp would you cater to?
My question is like, how does like the Gallery app work then? Because the Gallery app.
Oh, well, because part of this is that certain file directories, like video, the video directory,
they're still open.
Image
directory,
they're open to everything.
Because that's like a core functionality in like Android. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would break everything.
From what I understand, it would be specifically like this app, like WhatsApp, or you know, a chat app where it generates lots of images. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go into my gallery and I see
it's
the WhatsApp folder,
and
there's just tons of stuff in there. I never downloaded them, but there they are.
Yeah.
And so, maybe that's what it would be.
Is this a scenario where you do something kind of like the developer options, where like it's there if you know where to go find it? You know, where like if they do a mode that is more iOS, iPhone-like for the normal people so they can't screw up their phones. But if we are a power user, you know, you go into settings, you go into file, you know, access and bling, and now all of a sudden you can access it. Like, is
it's
there
like
a way
the
to
draw
have,
over other apps setting, basically?
Yeah. Is there a way to have the best of both worlds? That's my thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really nice. That would certainly make people feel.
There should be an expert mode.
Right. Yes.
Pro mode.
Like it's like the developer, the Easter egg where you have to tap seven times, except you have to tap nine times. And then you opt into like expert mode, like all the gates are open, like all the demons are out. Like
you better be on guard.
Yeah.
Get ready to get viruses.
And then that way I could be like, yeah, I'm a hardcore Android user. I use mine on expert mode.
I welcome viruses. I eat viruses for lunch.
I eat viruses. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Flo, you got the next one.
So this is something that we've mentioned a couple of times, that if you've checked out those monthly distribution numbers over at the Android developer dashboard, they have not been updated for quite some time. And I'm talking like, somebody has left the building, haven't been updated in quite some time. Yeah. So 9to5 Google is posted, you know, the last update for this particular page was October 26th of last year. It was 6 months ago. Google said at that time that an update was coming soon, but that the data feed was under maintenance. But it's been 6 months, and usually when we talk about coming soon, we think about something a little sooner than 6 months. So I think now the question is, did Google remove it to avoid any bad news cycles that were coming from it? Because, you know, every time there would be a minor update to that page, like all the Android blogs would kind of roll with it and be like, this is what's happening to Android's distribution numbers. Or does Google just have a different definition? Or maybe do we think that they're going to redo the portal? I mean, is it DOA?
Well, in Apple,
dead on Android.
Ooh, that might be a title.
Ooh, dead on Android. That's nice.
Nice. Wade County says they don't want to get embarrassed at Apple's keynote because, yeah, that's like prime example, right? Like that was always fodder for Apple to be like, oh yeah, check out their
iPhone 4 runs iOS 11.
95% of our users are on the latest version. Yeah. Theirs,
it's
like
5%. I just have to say, for iOS users, like, it's amazing how many of my friends do not update their iPhones.
Yeah.
Like, I will open up their phones and they'll be like, hey, can you like tell me how to use this app? And I'll open up the app and I'll notice it's an older version. And I'm like, have you updated your apps lately? Because you're missing this particular feature. So Apple's not perfect. But I can understand why. I don't know. I still feel like it's kind of a far reach to say like it's because of
for this situation. I think that it's very easy to go speculation and conspiracy theory. I also, in my many years on this planet and wise wisdom of working in organizations, that my guess is the person who updated it probably left.
Google Plus.
Exactly. Yes. And when they did what they did at their job, when they did a here's everything I do, and then the transition, no one else picked it up, they whatever, and then they're just moving so fast that no one's really noticed it, right? So I wouldn't be surprised if we see at I/O in response to this or very soon an update to that, because someone's like, oh crap, we didn't do the distribution numbers for months, right? Because I don't think that they're worried about being embarrassed in the Apple keynotes or anything like that. Yeah. Numbers, they shared the numbers for a reason, for transparency and stuff like that. I think this is probably as simple as whoever did it either moved on to another team or left Google or something dumb like that.
I need to check this.
It's just an open Jira ticket.
I need to check this, but I thought that last week or the week before, Stephen Hall tweeted out that article that he wrote, and someone from a Google team was like, just wait for I/O, just wait.
Oh, about this particular topic?
Yes, it was that same article.
Oh,
it was like when they wrote it.
Oh, they're getting a makeover.
Yeah, it's either maybe a makeover or maybe it's a lot better than they were expecting. I don't know. If they haven't updated it since October, then it's obviously going to be a lot better than, it was in October. But
right.
It must have been a long time ago. Did that happen? Did I dream about this?
I mean, honestly, I don't know, because I haven't filtered through all of his tweets, and I definitely didn't didn't notice that on
Steven
Twitter.
Liked my tweet that said I was going to be on the show. So if you're watching, Steven, you should DM me and tell me if this actually happened.
What are the odds that he's watching live? That'd be amazing. But yeah.
No, he's in the chat room. He's one of these names that we've seen a million times. Yeah. We just never put two and two together.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did make a quick change, Victor. Just so you know, I moved the voicemail up to this block. So if you just go to the email section, we're going to take this voicemail now.
We're
going to
do a voice.
Matt C. left us a voicemail, and I think we've talked a little bit about this in prior shows, but I wanted to resurface this because I want to see what everyone thinks, having given it some time. So take it away, Matt.
Hello, All About Android crew. This is Matt from Louisville, Kentucky. Regarding the name of Android Q, I had a revelation recently. Looking at the logo for Q, you've probably noticed it looks an awful lot like a 10. What if they stopped with the dessert naming with Pi, and from this point on, it's a perfect time to situate that 1 and that 0 and say, we present to you Android 10. And then there's no dessert affiliated with it. They don't have to mess with figuring out what the next letters are going to be and what dessert it's going to be. Instead, it will be Android 11, Android 12, and be able to move on. Because in a few short years, they will have reached Z. And then what do they do? So
I don't know.
Just a thought.
A-A.
I would not be surprised if the reveal ends up being a number instead of a dessert. Thanks. I love the show.
Okay, so Matt, thank you for the voicemail.
That was awesome, Matt.
Remember us talking about this very briefly.
We didn't talk about the logo, but we did speculate that given how hard it was to find a dessert that was Q, what if they just called it Android 10, yada, yada.
Okay,
I
could have swore we brought that up too, but maybe we didn't. But yeah, put that logo back on the screen.
The logo is a 1 inside of a 0.
Like, it totally is. Once you see it, you can't not see it.
Yeah, like why would the Q do, like why would any normal Q do that?
Or is it an L inside of a 0?
Also, it's a one with a hat.
Yeah. if you squint your eyes at it, you can see a boat.
That's right.
Those magic eye things. Okay. No.
Yeah, that's right. No, cross your eyes.
I never was in three dimensions.
Yeah.
No, it's a schooner. No, anyway. That is clearly a 1 and a 0, and they're going to do an animation and announce Android 10. I think that's 100%.
The one will swoop over, and it's like you may have been wondering what we were going to name it this year. We were wondering that too. We've decided it's the perfect time for Android 10.
But then I'm not getting any candy yet.
There we go.
There it is.
I can visualize the animation of that 1 and the 0 like swooping over to the side slowly.
Yeah.
In a perfectly put together PowerPoint for the keynote.
Yes.
So let's just Google S10.
Google OS 10.
Well, because that's the other question, is that what is the future of the term Android?
Hey.
You know, like that has been speculated that they're going to drop. I mean, they kind of have. It's the Google Pixel. Yeah. They don't talk about it that much. Like, is this going to be a departure from even Android? I mean, we're screwed if that happens.
Yeah, same. I think a lot of us are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll have to, yes.
All about fuchsia.
All about pivot.
Yeah.
All about Google stuff.
Let's note though, on April 30th, a week before Google I/O, thanks to Matt C, who called in, we are going to predict officially that it's not Android any sort of dessert. It'll be Android 10.
And it's not like they'll announce this at Google I/O, right? Like this is the kind of thing they leave for later. I don't know that they do this.
Yeah, well,
Google
last year they had that like moon like solar eclipse thing. You know,
at Google I/O?
No, they had it like randomly in Mountain View.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah. They like invited everyone out and it was like a 5-minute event. They just did the little animation. And they were
That's right. It's they invited Oreo. Everyone out and like just to unveil the statue, because the statue is like when the name. So then if it's Android 10, what are we going to have for a statue?
The 10 logo.
I mean, the Pi was just an Android guy holding a piece of Pi, which I was severely disappointed about, by the way, because they totally could have made him in a Pi costume. It was
right.
Not
a Pi suit. Exactly.
It was really not that hard. Like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was upset.
Key lime pie.
Yeah. Key lime pie.
Because it's green.
I don't know. Looking at the logo, because we have it as part of our. Or him lower third, pie. Him yeah. eating a pie. It does look like a nice pie, though.
It does look. It's yeah. It's like a cherry pie. Yeah. But he could have been a pie. I'm just saying, like he could have been a key lime pie. Like would have been easy.
Google, you're so lazy. I mean,
seriously,
that guy could have been a pie.
Yeah, I was sad.
Yeah. All right. What will we eat, by the way, if it's no longer food? I don't even know. We'll eat the letter 10.
We'll eat all like the things that start with Q. Because it's been a really curious journey to figure out the different desserts and so many international desserts. Like I feel yeah. like we need to expand our minds and, you know, look at other cultures.
Look outside of our bubble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good point. All right. Let's take a break and then we will talk about some hardware stuff before we do that. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Behind the Tech. This is a podcast from Microsoft, actually. Chief Technology Officer Kevin Scott will take you behind the scenes with tech innovators, pioneers, and into the history of computing, which, let's be honest, you're watching TWiT right now, which is all about technology. So this is perfect for your listening. In past episodes, he's talked to Andrew Ng, world-renowned for his insights into artificial intelligence. There's Danielle Feinberg, Pixar's computer scientist, who creates magic through lighting. And of course, Hiran Lanier, many people call him the father of VR, virtual reality. Today they are coming out with an episode where they're chatting with Reid Hoffman. He's the investor, author, entrepreneur, and best known for co-founding LinkedIn. Hoffman is a partner at Greylock and author of a new book called Blitzscaling that you should check out. On Behind the Tech, you're going to hear what inspired their podcast guests to author languages, to build the tools that made an impact on the lives of developers and engineers today. If you're a developer or an engineer, you're going to want to listen to this because it's going to get you brushed up on the history of what you're even doing in the first place. If you're early in your career, you can learn about the history of the tech industry. And if you're from Kevin's era, some of you may think, oh, I actually remember that. So some of the stories may ring true. Subscribe to Behind the Tech wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you happen to find them. Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Libsyn, everywhere that you go for podcasts, you're going to find Behind the Tech. Sign up, tune in, and geek out at Behind the Tech. And we thank Microsoft for their support of this show. And now it's time for not Google I.O. hardware, other hardware.
All right.
All right, Ron.
Oh, man. It is hard. It's hard to take you seriously.
Well, yes, it is. What? I'm being efficient right now. It's true.
Well, thanks to my trusty OnePlus 6, I am a loyal member of the OnePlus Army, and so I'm very excited to see the drumbeat getting louder on the OnePlus 7. I'm very excited to see what they bring to the table here. And they went big. OnePlus took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, which is the place you want to go if you want to make a statement, where they say the new phone has, quote, no bezel, no notch, and no random music. Which is a weird reference to Apple and YouTube from, like, what, 3 years ago? Yeah. When did that happen?
If not longer.
Like, also, the no bells and whistles thing is very weird to me, too, because usually for me, that's, like, a positive. Like, it has all the bells and whistles. And
so are they saying that this is, if no bells and whistles, is that, like, you know, this is a boring phone?
That's what, I got from it.
You said no gimmicks.
No gimmicks.
Yeah.
Good point. So I don't know if that's truly a reset the clock on OnePlus's marketing. It's been X number of days since we've had a marketing disaster. But but yeah, they're making big boasts with this ad. DisplayMate bestowed the OnePlus 7 Pro's display with its highest A-plus display rating.
Wow. Good for them.
It's rumored to be a Samsung panel, by the way. So way to go, OnePlus and Samsung. Wired went hands-on with a near-final pre-production model and took a bunch of pictures with it, which are very interesting to see how it looks. And that included a number of 3x optical zoom shots. So OnePlus 7 Pro, so, you know, the storm is swirling. We're starting to get closer on it. So, David, what do you think of the OnePlus 7? Is this a phone that's going to be on your radar? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I have here with me, actually, the OnePlus 6 and OnePlus 6T.
Because, you got your own little museum.
Got this special edition Avengers model of the OnePlus 6 that is appropriate for the time. And then the awesome what was this called? It was Thunder Purple.
I like the color.
OnePlus 60. I love this color. Yeah. But OnePlus phones have actually been my favorite phones every year, like pretty much consistently.
Yeah.
I think that their OS, like Oxygen OS, is the closest to stock Android that just has the nice like tweaks that you would really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And all of their animations are extremely googly. Like, not even like Google Now, but like what Google used to be when they had like, when they actually had Google Now and all those things with all the little people running around and the nice little animations. It's like that. And OnePlus really kind of just puts really good hardware, really, really light software with things that you will enjoy, but nothing else. And honestly, like the battery life is good. It's got good, I don't know, the performance is always solid. I think something they've always kind of been a little soft on is the cameras.
Is the camera.
They haven't been horrible. But I like the idea that they are doing this triple camera array. I think that's really important because everyone else is doing it. I also have a Huawei P30 Pro with me here, which, you know,
which
everyone
also has a fantastic color.
Which also has an awesome color. I think colors are getting popular right now. Yeah, but it's, I think everyone is going to do this triple camera array thing right now because you got like the ultra wide, the standard, and then the telephoto. And it's just insanely nice having that range. Like we saw that in the Galaxy S10. And then the Huawei P30 Pro, and like both of them, I feel like I can't really go back. The one thing I really wish that every phone did had is the like ultra wide angle selfie that the Pixel has, because that is amazing, and that's like one of the main things I love about the Pixel. But yeah, I'm really excited. It looks like they're gonna improve the quality a lot. It looks like they're really pushing a lot of money into making these cameras good. So yeah, I mean, I love OnePlus phones in general. Their software is amazing, and because I don't care as much about modding my phone anymore, I just want something that is like fast and holds up. Like the OnePlus 6 still works just as well as the OnePlus 6T. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's they're awesome. They don't really slow down, which is great.
They're fantastic.
And the 3T is on Pi right now. That's another thing that you got to think about. Like they are really, really solid with OS updates, and that's something that not a lot of people take into account.
They have a very committed development team for their software and their hardware.
Yeah.
At this point in their life cycle, they are still very attuned to the community that got them to where they are right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because from the very beginning, Ron, that's the 6T, right?
6T, 6T.
Yeah, you've got the 6T.
With my piece of gaff tape over my broken corner.
Oh.
Was that just the case?
Style points.
Yeah, no, I dropped it on the bathroom tile right on the corner. So like this, a little glass broke and a little, actually it gave me a sliver went in my finger, actually drew blood. But and so I didn't want to be cutting myself every time I got my phone. So I took some black gaff tape and you can't even tell.
Yeah. So, no, you can't.
It
even
is midnight
tell.
Black. So
well, there's a new phone coming soon, Ron. So
thankfully,
just hold tight.
I also have to say, Ron, they make like some of the best cases in the business. Like these are cases that you can just buy on OnePlus.com. And I really actually wish that OnePlus made cases for other companies because
they make really great cases.
I like their cases
really well.
They fit super well.
They're super snug.
Yeah, they're
snug. They're really thin and they protect.
This one's crazy thin. Yeah, it's super thin. This one's like a little bit thicker, but the nylon is like totally worth it. And then the inside is soft. Like, I don't know. They're great.
I will say the 6T kit that I got with the review unit had like four cases and they're awesome. For a moment,
they give you like five or six.
Yeah, but that's staunchly anti-case, so, and I paid the price. It's fine.
Yeah.
Just wait until you pay that price a few more times.
Well, I mean, I did. Remember when I bought three or four Nexus 5s?
Yeah, so you keep paying the price.
You're still anti-case.
I mean, I had to.
I'm anti-case.
I had to give in eventually.
Yeah, I don't use cases on phones that I'm reviewing because I like to see how they hold up just as they're made, because I think the manufacturer should make them not break as well as they can.
Sure.
But after I'm done reviewing them, sometimes I'll just throw a case on it just because I don't really want to break it if it's not going to.
I don't trust myself.
Yeah, and also the pixels were randomly cracking on the back anyway, so you kind of have to have that.
And I like the Pixel, the case that Google makes.
Yeah, the nylon is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The felt or whatever.
The Pixel, when it breaks, it's too costly.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All right, Flo, you got the next one. Tell us about the Red Magic 3.
So gaming is increasingly becoming the thing to do on the go. So naturally you need to have the hardware in your hand to be able to handle that. So Nubia is coming after you, mobile gamers. So Nuvia has announced the Red Magic 3 for Android gaming fans. It's got a 6.65-inch Full HD plus ultra-widescreen display with a 90 hertz refresh rate, which is quite outstanding, as well as HDR support. Inside, it's got a Snapdragon 855 processor, Adreno 640 GPU. It comes with 6 or 8 gigs of RAM, 128 or 256 gigabytes of storage, stereo front-facing speakers, RGB lighting through the back of the phone, which is a very neat thing to do. Mappable shoulder triggers, which, if we remember from a few weeks back, is kind of a neat thing to have for mobile gaming. 5,000 milliamp battery, which is also good for gaming on the go. A 27-watt quick charge. That's fast. And also liquid cooling, along with an internal turbofan, which just sounds... It just sounds very PC-like when you slow it down. Yeah. 48-megapixel rear-facing camera, 16-megapixel selfie cam. The abilities of it have yet to be tested, of course. Stock on Android 9.0. It will be available May 3rd in China, and it's coming to the U.S., Canada, EU, and the U.K. later on in May. But there's no pricing yet. I imagine, though, with all those high specs, that this might cost somewhat of a pretty penny. I mean, maybe, possibly.
I don't know. Is Nubia?
They're usually low cost. They did the Red Magic, the original one at CES, and it was $300.
Oh, wow.
And it had an 845 in it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
I forgot about that. See, they're not usually on my radar because, it's not a definitely a name
China,
that you hear a lot.
China is like the country to watch right now for their devices. Like, they're putting out super low cost, super high end phones, and they're just like destroying everyone else. But I don't think you can.
They're also
really...
crazy over esports, and I feel like this sort of thing would really fit resonate in with that market. It's a great way to just kind of like, oh, you like esports on your computer. Use a phone that matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, use a phone that while you're playing it, everyone sees a little light bar on the back. Yeah.
That's part of the viewing.
Okay, I'm
shifts
not gonna
through
lie.
Millions of
light
colors.
I wish I had like the ability to put lights on my phone.
You probably could.
Yeah, you've bedazzled your phone.
Yeah.
Now you just
can
need
find
to put
some creative
some LEDs back there.
That seems like a great blog post for a flow feed.
Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome. There's a plug.
Thank you.
Gaming phones continues to be a thing that we're watching. I still don't know if I've really played very
game
much
of
with
phones?
Gaming phones.
I don't have any games on my phone, and I never have. So
you don't play games on your phone?
I don't play games on my phone. I have my Switch for that, and that's kind of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I play, like, tap games. Like... Tapping,
commuting games,
you know, Animal
games,
Crossing, like even Blades, the Skyrim game, is like mostly a tapping and scroll, you know, game. It's not super involved. Like the example we had a couple weeks ago, I think Josh Vergara was playing a PUBG.
Yeah, Josh is a crazy gamer. Like, he plays so many mobile games, but he mostly emulates games though. That's what he's about. So he actually loves these gaming phones.
Right.
He was telling me about the. Wow, what was it? The Xiaomi Black Shark 2?
That's the one he brought onto the show, and it looked like a Switch with an Android OS on it.
He showed it to me when he came to San Francisco for the Qualcomm event we covered, and like it basically looked like a Switch. I was like, damn, this is actually just a Switch.
Yeah, it's cool looking. It's an interesting approach, if not a little bit, you know, interesting from a legal perspective.
Some copyright.
Cease and desist.
We'll see what happens.
China doesn't care, though. It's okay.
The fine folks at iFixit tore down the Samsung Galaxy Fold and could easily see in their teardown how the hinge system was actually letting foreign objects in. And that was resulting in some of the damage to displays that we were hearing about. And then apparently Samsung asked that iFixit remove the teardown from their site. And basically, Megan and I actually had a chance to talk with iFixit, Jeff Swovenen, before they actually had the takedown. They took the thing down. So we talked to them earlier in that day on Tech News Weekly last week. And he was just, you know, basically he mentioned like we were like, well, how did you get this phone? Like, did Samsung send you this like ultra hard to get phone in order to take it apart?
Trusted partner.
Yeah,
right?
Apparently they have, you know, they just have some people that will call and call them. And in this case, you know, that person said, hey, I've got one of these phones. Do you want it for a teardown? And so of course they did the teardown.
Yeah.
That's what iFixit does. And they heard from that trusted source later that Samsung had contacted them and wanted it taken down. So it's like they communicated this to them through that trusted source. So they took it down. I can understand why they would.
It just doesn't seem right to me, because it hurts the rest of us in the industry when you have a company coming in and saying, take it down, because you don't want that kind of press out there. Right. It kind of removes a bit of the freedom of the press. And I know this might sound outlandish, but I'm very serious when I say that, because it's not fair for a company to say, well, your coverage of our product, which was not ready for prime time as we had anticipated it would be, is apparently unfair. But it is fair, because they made a big to-do about this phone. And then this phone started to crack in the hands of reviewers who were kind of treated as beta testers. And I just think it's not fair to come in and say, well, we want to cover our tracks now. I mean,
yeah.
I agree with you, own it. But I also think that it's fair for them. I don't know. It's a tough position. If I was at iFixit, I probably wouldn't have taken it down. It's easy for me to say that.
Right.
When you have a big Goliath like Samsung. Kind of, but what you had was, you know, I got to imagine that there was some sort of agreement or limitations placed around those demo units, pre-production devices, clearly a flaw is found, they need to go back and fix, and all that sort of stuff. So I get it. Like, I understand it.
It
would be one thing if it was a teardown of the phone that I can go buy in a store right now and they said take it down, because then you're trying to hide something.
True.
I still agree with Flo. I still think they probably shouldn't have taken it down. And what they should have done is, once Samsung actually pushed out that press release, they should have made an amendment to their thing that said, hey, by the way, Samsung is recalling this and adding structural integrity to the display. We will retest this when we get the new unit, and then just have the update there just for transparency. Because like you said, Flo, like, it just kind of like, If we take things down because manufacturers ask us to, then where is the trust in the press anymore?
Yeah, well, I think that the big challenge in my mind as far as this is concerned is that this was never Samsung communicating directly with iFixit. This was never an agreement between iFixit and Samsung.
Right.
This was an agreement between Samsung and whoever the trusted partner is, right? Mm. And from iFixit's perspective, they already have a relationship with this trusted partner that they want to foster. Apparently, this trusted partner has given them devices in the past. It's been a good relationship.
True.
So from their perspective, they know that if they keep it up, they are making the choice that trusted partner and Samsung now have this difficult relationship, whatever the terms are stipulated within that relationship.
Right.
I honestly feel like that's probably a big reason why they took it down. I don't know that it's necessarily iFixit felt pressure from Samsung directly. I think iFixit probably just wanted to protect the source that has been very open and kind to them in the past.
Absolutely.
To provide support.
That's a lot more fair, for sure.
But that's also why
it's a tricky position to be in also.
Yeah, but it's also why it's important for us to talk about this, because people need to know that this is what happens behind the scenes. Editorial integrity is a huge thing, but we also live in an age where we really have to keep our relationships, because they are very sensitive. And in order for that coverage to continue coming, you know, and we'll be here telling you what happened. I mean, we're here to tell you that they did this teardown and this is what happened. And so, you know, like, the phone was not ready for your hands.
Yes, we know that pretty clearly now.
Yeah.
What, Ron, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say that there's a delicate balance in this world.
Yeah.
And that's what it's running into. And Flo, that's a great point. And that the press will be here. You know, that's a great point, that the story will be told even if it's down or not, like we're doing right now.
Yeah. And having said that, twit.tv/TNW, go watch the episode, because we talk all about the teardown and show plenty of screenshots. So if you are interested in the teardown before it was removed, you can watch that interview. It's actually a really good interview. So
I like us plugging our other projects on this episode, by the way. I feel we should continue.
Well, yeah, when it's absolutely when things are relevant. Yeah, totally. This is something someone would want to read. So there you go. Another thing that someone might want to read, or maybe not buy, apparently.
Or, I mean, up to you. I mean, it sounds like it's up. It's right up my alley. But
that's
so
why I gave it to you.
This is glorious. The Energizer Power Max P18K Pop. The yes. phone with an 18,000 milliamp battery shown at Mobile World Congress died
thing.
A very quick death on Indiegogo as it flopped hard.
Oh, my God. Just look at how ugly that phone is.
Oh,
just
really. It's amazing.
Big boy
this
right
is,
there.
This is glory. Big boy. Look at the big boy.
Big boy. Yes.
Oh, I love it. This
it's
is
like
great.
A thick wafer. I just want to take a bite out of it.
I already carry four phones in my pocket anyway, so like, what's the difference?
You might as well have it all compacted.
Think about it. If you're willing, the kind of person who carries an external battery, you're just basically carrying this same amount of width. Just
it's 18,000 milliamp hours, so yeah. Yeah.
So after Mobile World Congress, they put it up on Indiegogo at a $549 early bird price. It had a goal of 1.2 million. In the end, they earned $15,005 in pledges.
Oh my goodness.
Which is and this is a great little fun fact here. They earned 83 cents per milliamp.
So. Nice. Cost effective.
Not even a dollar per milliamp hour earned on that entire car.
I like this because this sets the bar for how far we'll go for unlimited battery life. Clearly, 18,000 milliamp is a bridge too far.
Yeah.
So now they just need to dial it down, make battery it a little thinner. Maybe 10,000, maybe 12,000 milliamps. You know, like I know we already have 10,000 out there.
A phone half that thick, like 9,000. I could carry that around.
Totally.
Yeah.
9,000's respectable. Yeah. Respectable.
Yeah.
I love this phone.
Would
this
you say
fantastic.
It's over 9,000?
Yeah, it was 9,001.
9,001, yeah. Go to the Price is Right model. So, and look at the bezel on that baby. Look at it. Oh man, that is hot.
Yeah.
Is there even a bezel?
Yeah. What bezel? What are you talking about? the bezel's in the battery.
Yeah.
The bezel is the battery.
Oh, that's great. Just imagine dropping that, or just imagine like
on concrete.
I think if you drop that, it explodes like a bomb.
Yeah, is that even legal to bring on a plane?
I don't know.
I don't think you can bring more than, like, I don't know,
yeah,
20,000.
They're going to tell you, I'm sorry, ma'am. You can't bring that on the plane.
Wait a minute.
It's a lot of lithium ion.
That's a skewed view. Is that a USB-C port?
It looks like a really big USB-C port, yeah.
Or is that a cat? What is that? Is that a camera? Or is that a...
It's an IR blaster.
Oh.
So it's also your remote, yeah.
Okay. Well, then that makes a little more sense.
It's an old TV remote, basically. Yes. Yeah.
I will say, I wish I had IR in more phones.
Yeah, same. I miss the IR.
Having a remote for the TVs in the house just feels ridiculous.
Why is an IR blaster in a phone less found in U.S. phones and more found in imported phones? I feel like I see them way more in, like, Sony is one brand that likes their IR blasters.
They just want to sell us remotes, man. They just want to crowd up our houses, man.
Oh, man. It's big IR.
Yeah.
They want to sell us those universal remotes.
Big remote.
Big remote. Yeah, big remote is...
Logitech with their Harmony remote. They're like, you can't just use your phone for everything. You need a separate remote for all your stuff.
Big Harmony.
Big Harmony. I'm down for Big Harmony.
All right, let's take a break, thank the sponsor, and then we'll get into some app news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. Thankfully, it's not very hard anymore because ZipRecruiter is here to make it easier. But before you had ZipRecruiter, you had to go to multiple job sites. You had to sift through stacks of resumes, go through a very confusing, elaborate review process. So many steps. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. I've already told you that place. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But that isn't all. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and then invite them to apply to your job when they find a match. So they're doing the hard work of actually finding the qualified people and saying, hey, you want to look over here. Here's a job that's perfect for you. So then as those applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And it's just, you know, they make the whole process easy. The UI, the approach, everything is streamlined, easy to sift through, take a look at it. You don't spend all of your time worrying about the details because they kind of take care of that for you and get right down to brass tacks. Right now, All About Android listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address. It's ziprecruiter.com/android. You can show your support for this show and for ZipRecruiter by going to ziprecruiter.com/android. That is ziprecruiter.com/android. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. So if you've got a business and you want to test it for yourself, check them out. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android. All right, it's time for some apps real quick. Maybe not super quick. Maybe one for one magical episode, I will send Flo all the music bits in advance. And Flo, if you can record
with just your
voice in your mouth, record the songs, your own interpretations, then we'll insert those into the video drops. And then that'll just, going forward, that's what we'll do.
Don't tap me because I'm going for a really creative summer. I have a lot of creative projects brewing this summer. So
you would have a minimum requirement of at least three layers of you. So like one of you would be doing like the beats. You'd be like,
I love those YouTube videos. I could see that.
Yes, totally. And it's like, yes, it's like a Brady Bunch view of like nine flows doing the music. I like it.
Don't tempt me. Okay, so if I'm going to be making music, well, then the one way that you're going to be able to listen to it is pretty soon YouTube Music, because Google Play Music is going the way of the dodo, which is a bird. For the uninitiated. So Google is trying to improve YouTube Music ahead of Google Play Music's eventual demise. So YouTube Music will include a file browser for playing local music. I know that was something that we have been talking about with this transition, like what is going to happen to that local stuff. That was one reason I think a lot of people were sticking with Google Play Music, is because of that easy integration. But unfortunately, it looks like that music might not be castable, which wouldn't be an issue if Google Play Music's music uploadability had come over. I mean,
it's a
frustrating thing, because you're saying, hey, you can have your local files, woo, but how are you supposed to cast it without some sort of third-party service? So that's annoying. Also, it can include that music in playlists that also have YouTube Music songs and content included in there. So if you're trying to make like a mixed playlist, which, by the way, I believe you can do on Spotify, you can't do that in the new YouTube Music. So there's going to be some adjustment for folks who are going over. But I imagine that with a little bit of complaining and a little bit of, online shouting, that maybe you can let Google know how you're feeling about all of these changes.
Like, the cynical part of me just believes that Google knows, and like Google does what Google does.
Well, maybe not, because it is, I mean, I feel like in this era of streaming, fewer and fewer of the people logging on are really thinking about local files. I feel like that maybe is still a niche thing. Like, I don't have any local audio. I haven't accumulated any local audio files besides the podcast recordings that I have. And like, that's all I have that's local content, because I don't download music anymore
unless
it's through the service I'm paying for.
I still do. I mean, like, when I went to Google Play Music, I uploaded all my iTunes library there. It was all there. And then when a new album comes out, I just add it to my library, right? And so then I have it through Google Play Music. I don't have the physical media, except when I get a record and it comes with a download code. I always download it, so I have it, because I bought that piece of vinyl and I bought that, you know, I want to get the MP3s. And I still, you know, add it to iTunes so that it'll upload to Google Play Music. And then what happens is that Google Play Music matches. And when I pull up that album, I have two entries for every track, which is unbelievably annoying.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Sadly, as great as Google Play Music was for me, it pretty much threw off my entire music listening kind of thing. And I still use it as a crutch because it's all I have, but I don't have the time to sort it out and to clean it up. I don't want to move to Spotify. I don't want to move to something new. And honestly, I'm kind of ignoring this impending deadline, and I don't know what I'm going to do after.
It's not happening.
I did that same thing with Allo for sure.
I can't hear you.
I don't know if it's even uninstalled on my phone yet. I just still have it there.
It's still on my phone too.
Forever. Allo and Inbox. Both of them will live forever in my eyes. Yeah. But yeah, for the streaming thing, why didn't Google just rebrand Google Play Music to Google Music, first of all?
Yeah.
And then just like fix the problems it had, because like it was one of the best music streaming platforms from the beginning. I remember being able, like, their ability to upload your local music was great. The actual application that you used was very web 2.0. Very long time.
Yeah. Oh yeah. it still sucks.
But I remember when Spotify first hit beta in the US and they only allowed 1,000 users in, and CNET put this article out, and I immediately got in and I was in this beta and I was like, oh my gosh, you can stream music now. You don't have to own music anymore.
Anything.
And it was huge, but I still liked the fact that Google Play Music just like allowed you to keep your own content. Because like I have a lot of local sessions of artists that I like that are not on the internet anywhere. And also YouTube Music is a horrible app in general, in my opinion. It kind of just rips the audio from like a YouTube video of the song. It's not good. It's just really bad. And branding it as YouTube Music too, when they're trying to rebrand everything else as Google blank, is just I don't know what they're doing, but
they're gonna call it Nest Music in
nest
6 months.
They will.
Music for your nest, yeah. Not a bad idea.
I wouldn't be surprised.
They'll put speakers in all of your thermostats. Yeah.
Let's announce that at Google I.O. Nest Music.
You can play Stained when your doorbell rings.
They should turn Nests into a chat app, and then that'll be perfect.
Nest, now with RCS compatibility.
The YouTube thing is a bummer too, because YouTube does, I mean, we've talked about the content problems on YouTube. And by the way, just to harken back to earlier in the show, we were talking about Google's earnings report. If I recall correctly, one of the things that came out of that is that YouTube views were down because they've been getting rid of problematic content. So when I think about music on YouTube, I think of fan-made videos. I don't think of the music videos that I want to see. I think of like lyric videos, or like somebody spliced together like all the sad episodes of Sailor Moon to like some song, which there you find a lot of that out there. And so it doesn't feel like a legitimate listening experience for me. And so I'm very curious to see how this is going to evolve. And if it's just us that it's bothering, like I want to see what the adoption rate will be for this.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad subscribes to YouTube Music.
I mean, the thing is, the people that are subscribed to YouTube Premium get YouTube Music for free, right? And they should just... I understand, like, why if you are a YouTube Premium subscriber, you should have got something else that was YouTube for free. But they should have... I don't know why they just don't bundle Google One into all of this stuff. Like, Google One is what gives you the extra 100 gigabytes of storage on Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have just made this, like, all-in-one Google Apps service where you just get everything Google related for like $12 a month or something, and you get 100 gigabytes of drive storage, and you get local music storage, and you get, and they just rebrand everything to Google blank, you know. I made a joke last year at Google I.O. actually, because they rebranded Keep to Keep Notes. Mm-hmm. And then they were just rebranding everything. So I was saying they should rebrand Google Android Auto to Google Drive. And then they would have to rebrand. They would have to rebrand Google Drive to Google Keep, and then they'd have to rebrand Google Keep to Google Notes, and then they would reach perfect harmony. Perfect Google harmony.
There it is.
Don't give them any ideas, because damn it, I can totally see them doing
that. Hey, it's, you know,
and then our lives are eternally confusing.
Yeah.
On the plus side, it gives us content for the show.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Keep it up, Google.
And more to complain about on the internet.
Yes.
Yes.
That's what the internet's for. Yep. BuzzFeed investigation revealed 46 apps from very prolific developer, Du Global, which is a major Chinese developer with more than 600 million installs across right around 100 apps in their library. They detected in 46 apps that this company was committing ad fraud and committing Play Store violations, policy violations. So Google removed 46 of the apps, is considering removing that developer as a whole. The company has since said that it took a look at all of these apps and it realized that, hey, Google, you're onto something. These things were, you know, I just totally hey G'd. Sorry about that. Everybody's Google. Device.
Everybody, that's going to need to get bleeped out in the
all
edit.
Of my devices
Sorry.
lit up at the same time. That they basically took a look, you know, did their own audit and they're like, oh, yeah, what do you know? Google was telling the truth. We're really sorry. I don't know. I mean, it's just Du Global is apparently one of the Play Store's biggest developers in sheer numbers. And it also appears that ES File Explorer, which has historically been a very popular file explorer before it was purchased by the Chinese company and then they started really messing around with it and putting in, you know, kind of like a app install prompts and just mucking it up. Apparently this was also part of that removal. If you try and find ES File Explorer right now, you get a dead page on the Play Store. So kind of a big deal, this whole ad fraud thing. What do we think?
Is this something I'm noticing? Okay, so I don't want to get super deep into it because I'm not able to fully back up my claim. Mm-hmm. But based on the 6 classes I took in college on international relations,
yes,
I'm very curious to see how this is going to develop further. Like, I didn't thoroughly think about what I was trying to say. It's just that
like
I noticed
Google is going to allow countries, different people from different countries, to submit apps to the App Store. Is that what
yeah?
You mean?
It's just I'm worried. Is what I mean to say about what kind of message this might be sending or what might be happening. And I think it's just kind of a bummer that an app that for so like back in the day I used to suggest ES File Explorer
yeah.
to folks.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's an Ars Technica article I wrote like back in 2013 about how you should download this thing. And now it's a banned app. And so that's a real bummer because now we have to be careful about who's going to gobble up these apps and, you know, what's going to happen with them. So I guess we're just going to have to do extra vetting of apps now that we are suggesting because...
Well,
who knows?
I mean, in the case of all of these, it was like ad mob stuff going on behind the scenes. And I don't know as a user how you know that necessarily going in.
Well, I'm talking about us as the advocates for the user.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, even from our perspective, if we were to download some of these apps, I don't know, like I still don't know what you specifically look for as someone using an app to know that they are committing ad fraud through, you know, through some sort of weird usage of ad mob.
It's hard because
in the background. I don't know how you do that.
Like Google did that Google Play Protect thing and you can check your apps to make sure that they're not like now have spyware, but I don't feel like they can really kind of redundantly check or like especially with trusted apps that we've been recommending for years. Like it's kind of, how do you even get around that? I don't know. You just have to check who now owns the app or something. And
yeah, you have to basically backwards Google. And the one thing I appreciate about the Google Play Store is you can easily find like the address, the contact information of the developer and like go down a Google hole, like figuring out who the developer is. But you shouldn't have to do that as a consumer or a user. Because then you're basically saying the Play Store is still the Wild West that it's always been. And that doesn't help Google's precedent for what all the work they've been trying to do with like the Play Protect and with the security controls. And it's just a real bummer.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, BuzzFeed is on the case.
As per usual.
With their investigative
They actually have
work.
An amazing reporting division.
They do.
They're not all just quizzes.
No, absolutely not. I completely agree.
So some good news.
Yes.
Let's take that. How about we're talking about gamer phones and playing games on phones. And there's one game that I think we can all agree that we love, and that's Mario Kart. All ages, everyone loves that game.
Well, I mean, I'm a big fan of Mario Kart. I don't know if this Mario Kart is really fantastic.
Anyway,
I love
Mario
your
Kart.
Accent, Ron. It's my favorite thing.
I'm just kidding, Ron.
Anyway, so now I don't even know how to say it. So it's a me, Mario. So the Mario Kart. Nintendo's getting ready to bring Mario Kart to Android in the form of Mario Kart Tour. Registration for the first closed beta is open through May 7th, right before Google I.O. The beta lasts from May 22nd through June 4th, and then it's scheduled for a summer 2019 release. And this is, as you can imagine, a very anticipated release.
Yeah.
And it's actually delayed from its original plan of early 2019. But hey, get it right. Don't rush it. I love Mario Kart, however you want to say it. It's fantastic, and I will play the heck out of this on my phone. So,
yeah, you know what this reminds me of is Wii Mario Kart, because they had those specialized controllers that you would just go like this on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's exactly what they're going to make you do on your phone, because it just takes the gyroscope, and it's probably just going to be there's going to be auto drive. It's probably going to be extremely similar to what you do on Mario Kart for Switch. Or
I wonder how you're going to do the power. Like, you know, when you on the Switch, you have to go to the side and then go to the other side really quick.
Yeah,
and
like
that gives
drifting.
You like a power move.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious how this is all going to manifest on mobile.
Or maybe it'll just be a Mario Kart themed runner. Wouldn't that be exciting?
Oh, no.
Oh,
throwback.
Yay.
Oh, man.
Yay, another runner. Woo.
Super Mario Run. Yeah. iOS only for 6 months. Let's go.
All right. Well, let's daydream what it could be. And let's take a break and thank our next sponsor. Because this episode of All About Android is brought to you by Capterra. And listen, finding software is complicated, but it doesn't have to be. Capterra puts thousands of real software reviews right at your fingertips. They're the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. And I cannot tell you how helpful this service is. It's amazing. Capterra has over 850,000 reviews of products with 30,000 fresh reviews available each month. You can discover everything you need to make an informed decision. Search more than 700 specific categories of software like CRM, IT project management, e-commerce, link management tools, web conferencing, just to name a few. Once you choose a category, you can filter those results by product rating, users, deployment, and features. Then you can compare them side by side, up to four at a time. They'll even show you a list of related categories for further options. And listen, if you've ever been in a position where you're trying to decide for the right software package to use for your business, you might be a small business. You don't have a lot of time. You want to find something that works. You know, a lot of times these business software can be hard to implement. You got to get everyone trained, everyone working on it. You want to make sure you're investing in the right one. So how better than to decide than to get the opinions of people who've actually used it. This is great. I use a ton of business tools in my various business life, and getting more informed decisions about the software that we're using makes you run your business that much more smoother and be that much more effective. So no matter what kind of software your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. And once you find that perfect software, remember, you should leave a review and share your knowledge with other buyers, because knowledge is power, and give back to the community that helps you. So check out Capterra's free website. Visit Capterra.com/AAA and join the millions of people who've used Capterra to find the right tools for their business. That's Capterra.com/AAA, CapterraA.com/AAA. Capterra, software selection simplified. Thanks, Capterra, for helping us make decisions. That's awesome. So,
thank you, Capterra. Cool. Capterra.com/AAA. All right, let's jump into the arena. Why don't we? I mean, we're here, you know.
But only one lives.
This is why we come to work each and every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
It's the battle in the arena.
All right. Last week, twit.to/AAApoll417 is where you went to vote. And if you voted for SMS Backup and Restore Pro, you were part of the winning team. 49%. Oh, well, let's say 50%. Let's round up. 50% for that. That means Flo, the big winner, finding the app that had not been, that seemed so obvious, yet had not been taken into the arena.
That's
well,
because,
we're
that's
having another. We're having a flashback to that with David in this week's.
I was going to say that's becoming the tale of the
a little bit.
That's becoming the tale of the tape with the arena this year. So
yes, it is indeed.
With 16 weeks in the books, with that win, Flo continues to solidify her position on top. It is Flo's arena to lose with 54 points. The guests who David will be representing today are in second with 45 points.
I'm going to lose.
And Jason,
today.
You and I are still battling it out for the bottom. Jason's in third with 35 points, and I've got 31 points. So I you know, Swoot was a good at that was even though Flo won, that was a very close call. But yeah. I'm very confident about the app that I found for us this week, and so I guess I'll dive in and start it up.
Yeah, before you dive in, just so everyone, because I think I only read the first app. SMS was first. With 50%, yep. All Trails, my app, second at 29-ish%, and then Swoot, third place at 22%. So just so that's there for the audio listeners, and they can follow along. All right, so go for it. Ron, you're up first.
Cool. So my app is called Chalk by Vuforia, or Vuforia Chalk. And what it is it's a video conferencing / AR app that basically – have you ever – okay, let me picture this. Have you ever been in a situation where your significant other is at home and she's trying to reset the router and you're at work and you're like, no, unplug the cable, then plug it back in. Or you're trying to do something technical and you're explaining, like, press the button in the upper right. No, not that button, the other button. Well, now with Chalk, what you can do is you can connect and you can actually show the person what you're looking at and then be able to draw on the screen, vice versa, and be able to interact. So the best way to do this is to show how it works. So we're actually going to do this demo live. So Jason, I'm going to call you.
All right. I'm standing by. Red 5, right. Standing by. Oh, hey. Ron is going to call and help me with my troubleshooting something.
Or you're going to help me. In this case, you're going to help me. So.
Oh, I'm going to help you?
Yes. So I'm going to share my video.
I'm going to
lower the volume. And so now you can see my, this is basically the little desktop I'm sitting at. There's the show. There's everything, right? And Jason, I don't know how to use this phone.
Oh, well, so do I draw? I draw.
Yeah, so if you draw on it.
Oh, okay. So keep it on the phone, all right, Ron? I need you to show the phone and not your finger.
Sorry, I'm lowering the volume.
Okay,
go for it.
All right, so I can see your phone. I have this phone, too. What you do is you pick up the receiver there. Do you see
all right,
that?
So now I'm going to show you guys. Oh, whoa, weird. Look at me. Oh, wait, I can't do it. Okay, so anyway, I saw what Jason drew on my phone.
And you can see, I think what this is awesome. It's like keeping
that.
The tracking.
Yes, that's the important part.
Right, Ron. That is the dial pad. That right there is the dial pad, and that's what you use to make your call, Ron.
That's very cool. Yep.
All right. Isn't that cool? So you'll pick that up. You'll put it to your ear. This is
this
ear.
Thing? You sure this thing? What about this thing?
You will definitely want to drink the Snapple.
So now what you can also do is you can change the color. So I can change mine to blue. Right? So, and so you do that by hitting the hamburger menu in the upper right-hand corner.
So many arrows. I love it.
Yeah, so many. You got arrows showing you where else you drew stuff, right? This is super cool. It's really, really cool. So
whatever you do, do not unplug this cord down there. Okay? Because that is connected. Never mind. Goodbye.
I hung up on you. So Vuforia Chalk. So as long as you both have the app and connect to one another, you can share each other's screen. If Jason, we could have swapped and you could have shown me my screen and I could have drawn on yours and vice versa. It's great if you're walking someone through how to install something or how to change something or how to fix something. You know, a lot of us have, you know, our parents who aren't, you know, typically computer savvy. They need a little IT help. Everyone has a phone.
How you doing?
This is the AR app that we've been waiting for.
That's
basically.
So cool. I love it.
Yeah. That's very cool. So, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Vuforia Chalk. It's free in the Google Play Store.
Vuforia Chalk. And it looks like it gives you kind of like a time limit. Like you've got 3 minutes to kind of go through this.
It does. Yeah, it does.
You know if that taps into AR Core?
It's got to. I don't know for sure if it does or doesn't, but I got to imagine it does.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how else would it do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tracking the room. It's, it's you know, and even when something goes off screen, it knows that it's still there and it has the arrows that point to it. And then once it goes
off
screen,
I like this is because
stuff embedded is still there.
After Google announced AR Core, it's kind of like whenever there's a new category announced, all the developers rush to make the most basic thing that you can possibly make just to show that it's a proof of concept. And this feels like that, but at the same time, at least it exists, right? Like, no one else made it. And that was like the app ecosystem before it got super saturated. Like anyone could make anything. It could just be a magical place where anyone could get famous. And it was crazy. But that's cool. I like that a lot. That's really neat.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Cool.
Vuforia
so check it out.
Chalk.
Vuforia Chalk. Yeah. Right, so free in the Google Play Store. Go enjoy it.
All right. My app is called Daywise. And what this app is, if you go to the Play Store, it's one of those apps that right now says parentheses unreleased. So maybe it'll, maybe that'll go away someday. I don't know exactly why that's there. Kind of consider it like a very, very open beta because you don't actually have to like, you know, join a beta in order to do this. But I'd say, you know, grain of salt when you're using it because you might encounter things that aren't working, and maybe that's why it's unreleased for the time being. But and it's low install and all that. But what is Daywise? Daywise is a way to prioritize notifications. Obviously, Android, you know, has been doing a lot of stuff around a lot of improvements around managing your notifications and everything. Daywise has the ability to take all of the apps that you have installed in your device and kind of give you a starting point as far as like what apps you might want to receive notifications on all the time. So say like a messaging app, that sort of thing, versus apps that maybe you're comfortable only receiving those notifications like at the end of your evening. So it's kind of a way to bundle notifications. And again, this is nothing new. Android is kind of playing around with this, but it has a user interface that kind of does it all for you. So when I first ran this, it went through and it scanned all of my apps and then it put apps into particular categories. And what you can see up here is next batch arrives at 10 p.m. I have four different time zones set up, and it essentially will bundle all the apps that arrive within that time zone. And then once that time is hit, it will release those notifications. And so what this is really designed to do, it's designed to allow you to focus instead of being constantly bothered or, you know, interrupted with notifications throughout your day. Let's see here. You can see kind of a running list of the notifications. I don't want to read news. News is annoying. These are some of the notifications that have come up while it's been running. So I can see a running list of these. I could pause it and turn it off temporarily, and it will kind of reveal everything else that I have had hidden from me, let's say. But I will go ahead and resume that. And now any new notification that come through, it's going to kind of keep them hidden from me until 10 p.m. when it releases it. So let's see here. You can change the batch timings. You can see here there's like a morning batch. So if you don't want things to appear until like 8 a.m., lunch batch, 12 p.m., it's just a way to help keep you focused so that you aren't constantly being distracted by all these notifications that are coming through. And there are ways to kind of group them. You can group around people. You can group around apps. We'll go ahead and open this up here as the select apps. So, you know, have different rules around direct messages or priority messages, Slack. All of that falls in the category of messaging. And you can really just kind of go through and say, you know what? I want my messages from messaging apps to come through immediately. Or I want direct messages from messaging apps to come through immediately. But everything else to be, you know, siphoned off and only roll out at the times that that it's set up to come through. So it's just kind of a cool way to manage your notifications. It's got a nice kind of a material design style to it. And I think one thing I really liked about it was just how automatic it was. When I first set it up, it scanned all the apps, it did a little bit of thinking, and then it took the apps that it knew were messaging apps, put them in the messaging category, and finance and all that kind of stuff. It was able to kind of group those things in a smart way. And it might help cut down on your distraction in life. And we could all use a little bit of that. Yeah. Over time, it'll monitor phone habits. I haven't had this running more than just today. So, but take a look. It's called Daywise. It is free, And you can find it in the Play Store. Just do a search for Daywise. All right. So, David.
Yes.
You're bringing an app that I've never heard of before to the arena.
This is deep in the App Store.
No, yeah, this is a deep...
You have to look for this one.
A deep cut right here.
Yeah, so today I had a weird sort of thing appear in my head where I wanted to contact Flo, and the way that we used to talk was over Allo.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can't, and I'm sad, and I'm very sad. And so I messaged her on Instagram, but she doesn't have Instagram notifications on, which is good because, like, you don't want to get attacked by notifications all the time.
Yes.
I was like, how do I contact you now? And she said, I'm on WhatsApp. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll use WhatsApp. And I looked on the arena, was not on there. And I have to say, WhatsApp is a good app. I don't like that it's owned by Facebook. That bothers me. But if you think about it, and I wanted to open this up into a more... general talk about the horridness that is messaging on Android, because everyone that I know that has an iPhone is just like, why don't you use iMessage? Why don't you use iMessage, right? And we've
it's bliss over an iPhone.
Yeah. In the US, we don't really have a lot of options. We have Facebook Messenger, which most people use, which its whole value proposition is that you're already connected with everyone, right?
Right.
That's Facebook. We have WhatsApp.
Yep.
Now that's Facebook too, right? So that's kind of sucks. And so, but WhatsApp is a good app, I have to say. Like, they added some features to Facebook Messenger recently that I really liked in WhatsApp. So you get to see all my contacts and all that I've been talking to them about. So I'm going to use Flo as the example here.
Yeah, go ahead.
We talked. One of the features I really like in WhatsApp is that you can do this thing where you can quote messages, right? So that's just very useful and common. But honestly, if you don't want to be locked into Facebook's ecosystem, and there was all that drama, if you guys heard about the drama with WhatsApp and how the founders left and it was just a big mess because of encryption, I think that Mark Zuckerberg wants to actually push encryption. Was it he wanted to push encryption on WhatsApp and the founder did not? Or was it the other way around? I can't remember. But they said that they were eventually bringing end-to-end encryption to WhatsApp, but people are still weirded out by that. So... other options we have are Telegram, and then we also have Signal, and both of them are really good. But the problem here, and the problem that I really wanted to bring up, is the whole idea of you don't really have a lot of options on Android, and the critical mass problem.
Yeah.
And right now, I feel like WhatsApp, outside of Facebook Messenger, has the best chance to hit that critical mass. And a good example is the fact that Flo told me, oh, I'm on WhatsApp. Jason, when I walked into the studio, said, oh, we use WhatsApp to communicate about all about Android. And actually, a fair amount of people have been telling me they're on WhatsApp, and I only started using this platform about 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that uses an iPhone, this is the only way that we can talk to each other. Someone says WhatsApp is way bigger than Messenger. That is true. In the US, I don't think that's the case, because most people in the US also always... just have used Facebook Messenger because we all got obsessed with Facebook very early on.
Yep.
But I mean,
think it's coming around. I think WhatsApp is growing in the US.
It's good. And I like the features it has. I like that you can call people within it. It's basically Facebook Messenger, and they're kind of like merging them. I don't know if eventually they will just merge them into something else.
I hope not.
But yeah,
that's the fear. Like, as a loyal WhatsApp user from like real early on before the Facebook acquisition, and having my entire family and like friends who are on iOS, and like that has like the groups, like that was WhatsApp was really the entry point for me and my social circle into group messaging. And the fear is that it will merge it into Messenger, which is just a mess, and I don't want anything to do with. WhatsApp is just so sleek, and I can't believe it hasn't been in the arena yet.
I was really surprised. I was going through, I was like, I almost did Adobe Fill and Sign, which I actually love that app. And it's really nice that you can just sign PDF documents with it, but it was already done. And I was like, wow, you guys have reached. You have really been reaching.
Talk about deep cuts. Yeah.
So, I think that you just need to hit that critical mass with a lot of different messaging apps. And right now, Google is just like, it's the meme, right? It's the biggest Google meme out there, is that as soon as they create a chat app, it's going to die within like 8 to 10 months. And I remember the day that they announced Allo at Google I/O 2016, and I was down in the server center at Intel watching Google I/O on my work laptop while I was working on these servers. I was so hyped, and I got like 5 people on it. And it was an amazing app. It was so good. But I also remember the day that it died, an unruly death, which was the day that it launched. And everyone on Reddit was like, it doesn't have SMS fallback, dead in the water. And then no one used it. So
yep.
The only people I had on it, I had like Stephen Hall from 9 to 5 Google. I had Flo. I had my sister. And I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the world of messaging in Android, where you have 10 million messaging apps installed because everybody's on this one or that one or that one or that one. But always just like 2 or 3 people you know, and maybe that's it.
RIP GChat. GChat needs to make a comeback at Google I/O 2019. I will pay Google money. Not that they need it.
Oh boy. Well, that is WhatsApp. And yeah, I mean, I think we all use WhatsApp. So
yeah, that's kind of
like, oh yeah, that hasn't been in the arena. Mm. Okay. Good pick. WhatsApp can be found for free in the Play Store.
At the cost of your data.
At the cost of, your data in the hands of Facebook.
Hey, it's a fair trade. I'm getting a lot of good use out of it. I'll sell my data for good use. That's fine.
All right, Flo, you are the returning winner. I've got your game installed, so I'll show it off while you talk about it.
All righty. So this is actually great because as you start playing it, I can start explaining kind of the rules of the game. But listen, I know that those of you who are not into Game of Thrones are sick of hearing about the rest of us who are into it. I get it. I completely understand. I feel the same way when people are like going off about sports or a game on Twitter.
Before you continue, we should bring the darkness of the screen all the way down to black.
Right, exactly. To make sure that we can see.
Turn your brightness all the way down.
Is the Pixel 3 HDR 10 compliant? Will you be able to see all the grays in between?
Sorry. Game of Thrones humor. There you go.
No, don't do that. Wait, now you can't see
quite
it.
Quite accurate.
That's OLED.
None more black.
The pixels will just turn
now
off.
He can't see the slider. There we go. So this is Reigns. Reigns Game of Thrones. Now, I've brought Reigns to the arena before, but the reason I'm bringing it again in this particular volume is because, Lee Alexander is one of the writers for Reigns, and I'm just a big fan of hers. I've been following her games writing and her journalism for years, and this game is just very witty. Like, I love reading it. It's the reason it's fun to play is because if you like RPGs, if you like games that take you into a storyline, like this has a storyline that you can follow. So Reigns is a card game. You swipe left, you swipe right to do different things. And the fun thing about this is it's set in the Game of Thrones canon, but it doesn't directly align with what you're watching on HBO. It's just licensed all of your favorite HBO characters. So in this particular version, you can do fun. Well, basically, you imagine Game of Thrones as being ruled by different rulers and not just the ones that are featured on the show. So you could rule as Cersei. You could rule as Jon Snow. You could rule as Tyrion. You could rule as Sansa, and then you make the decisions as them, and that affects the outcome of the game. Now, so Jason, before you slide over, just to show up at the top, you see those 4 symbols. So those symbols are different elements that you need to keep happy. So you have like your army, which is the sword. You have the church, which is that star sign. You have the people, so just the common folk, which is the little people sign. And then you have, I think it's the different houses. Since this is Game of Thrones, they're going to do the different houses on the very right, which is, so any decision you make could affect how each of these feel about you. And once you hit a low, once you hit empty on one of them, the game is over, your role is done, and you are killed because you can't live as a king. I mean, there's no impeachment here. You just get your head chopped off because it's medieval times. Okay. So it's a fun way to exist in the Game of Thrones canon without like kind of spoiling anything. You get to see characters from the show pop up for you. And one thing about this is the way that the rulers are chosen are through the fiery visions of Melisandre, the fire witch lady. With the red hair.
The red woman.
Yes. And as you play, thank you, Ron. And as you play, you can unlock, like, there's a couple of like mini games that come up when you unlock, like there are goals that you have to unlock. For instance, one of the first goals is using Dracarys, which is, you know, what Daenerys says to get her dragon to just put off some fire. And so once you do that, that like unlocks, you know, a storyline and such. And so it's just, yeah. So you died. You that ruined your role.
Yeah, I was doing really good there. And then I apparently went exactly the wrong place because that meter went all the way down.
So it's just a fun little way to exist inside the Game of Thrones world. And I know some people out there might be really sick of it, but I'm kind of at the stage where I'm just waiting for the series to end. Like, I'm just here to watch how it ends. But I'm also kind of enjoying my last bits of fan service and indulging in whatever way I can, because I'm probably going to move on after the show is done. I mean, that's it. It's finished.
Move on from what? Like, move on.
Well, I'm going to move on to another franchise. Like, another franchise that I read about, you know, every Monday, that I'm like kind of invested in the theories. And so I downloaded this game. I was like, well, you know what? We just had the big battle of Winterfell, so might as well delve into it even further. So if you're interested, the game is $4. I always say support your devs. Also, there's an incredible writing team behind this game, and so I encourage you to support them with your money. And also, I just really love the mechanics. This is the kind of game mechanics I like on a phone, and Reigns is one of my favorite franchises on Android. So if you haven't checked it out already, now there's a brand tie-in. So now would be the time to play the Game of Thrones version.
It's called Reigns Game of Thrones. It's named appropriately.
Yeah.
Awesome. $3.99 is the price.
There are two that precede this, by the way. There's Reigns and then Reigns Her Majesty. This is just the specific Game of Thrones version.
Yeah. Nice. I like it. Now that Game of Thrones is finally done, I can actually watch an episode of it.
Well, in 3 weeks.
Oh, it's not done?
There's still three episodes left.
I could have swore. This is how out of touch with Game of Thrones I am. Well, actually, I'm not even out of touch. There is no touch.
Yeah, I've not
watched a single episode.
Neither have I, so.
But I want to.
Yeah.
But at some point, I was just like, wow, so many episodes have happened. If I catch up now, then I'm just going to be
eight seasons. That's a lot.
Yeah, so
I don't think you could catch up in 3 weeks if you just watched it straight through. Yeah.
All right. So
I will say off topic that the reason I like this kind of stuff, you know, after I got on Lost, I didn't come to Lost until after it was over. And I really severely wish that I was on it while I was on, because
anyway. It's a roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, I love to analyze TV. Anyway.
I kind of like that live TV aspect where you have to wait until the next week to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like it's just a forced spacing that is actually really nice, and it can become a ritual.
Binging's not everything.
Yes. No.
It's really not.
The week delay is a gift as far as I'm concerned, and that time you get to enjoy it. Binging sucks. I don't binge at all. Even shows that drop the full season, you waste the enjoyment of it. Yeah. We've had this argument before, but
I agree.
All right, so twit.to/AAApoll 418 is where you'll go to place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Vufora or Viewfora? Chalk, Daywise, WhatsApp, and Reigns Game of Thrones. Place your vote like Victor is about to, and then we'll check in on it next week. Victor goes with Chalk.
I was going
to
go with that too.
Victor needs to do tech support at home.
Ooh. There it is.
Chalk. Ooh. I mean, Chalk is
Ron's exact example he gave about the router.
Yeah.
Resetting the router. That's I could have used it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Apologies, team guest. We're gonna lose this one. But that's okay.
Well, you never know. You never know.
I would not vote for
is WhatsApp.
All right. Not bad. Not bad.
WhatsApp is hard to argue the dependency on WhatsApp that I have. It's definitely true. If other people are like me, I could see it getting a lot of votes. So.
Yeah. We will check on it next week and see. David, a lot of fun to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
In the studio, and it sounds like you do a lot of travel whenever you're in the area. Please let us know.
Yeah, I stopped by quite a bit. It's like here in New York and then somewhere in Europe or China, usually.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That keeps life interesting.
Yep.
Well, you know, let us know in advance and we'll get you on. And if we don't hear from you in a while, then we'll reach out to you and see.
Anytime
you
I'm
will.
Around major conferences that are happening in the Bay, let me know. I should probably be here.
And of course, we'll run into you at Google I.O. next week. Where do you want people to follow all the stuff you do online?
My most used platform is Twitter. Mm-hmm. And my tag is at DervidML because the guy that had my account was using it. Well, he had my name. He was using it to ask companies for free phones.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
No.
So they, no way.
Yeah, so that's actually why they verified me because he was using it to reach out to companies asking for free phones. So they shut down his account, but they will not give it to me. Because it is against their terms of service. I have asked them multiple times because they say after a year you can request it.
Yeah.
And it's been about 4 years and I request once a year and they always say, sorry, it's against our terms of service. So one day I will get that tag. But they do say if you change your tag and you're verified, you become unverified. And because they're like not verifying anyone anymore, I'm kind of just stuck with it, which sucks because I'm just at my name on every single other platform on the internet.
Yeah,
considering my name is not exactly that common, so
right.
Do you submit the request on the same day every year? Like, is this the day you're going to submit annual the request? Thing.
Google Calendar event for April 27th.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, but I should do that though. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that is a bummer, man.
Yep.
Weird that they wouldn't allow it.
I know.
That's kind of part of their...
I know, that's what it said in their rules, but like Bleak says in the chat, he says, almost like Twitter just makes up its own rules as convenient or something, which is,
in some ways, kind of feels true. Yeah. Well, thank you. Awesome having you on.
Thank you.
Obviously, follow your work also on androidauthority.com. Flo, what's new in your world? What's new in the Flo feed?
Right now, I'm just kind of hunkering down, preparing for next week, which is going to be a really big week. So I have a lot of fun stuff planned for next week. So do stay tuned, please, to my social media channels. I'm at Oh That Flo on Instagram and Twitter. But if you head over to FlorenceIon.com, you can actually now, I am posting every Tuesday, I'm scheduling it didn't go up. or actually maybe if you refresh Victor, it'll show because I posted it at 6:45, but I am writing about I'm writing about the apps I bring into the arena so I can make my case and, just to write about why I'm choosing the apps that I bring into the arena.
Nice.
So
I like it.
Check that out every Tuesday, and I post them after the arena because I am not about to spoil my choice every week.
Of course not. Not ahead of time. Cool stuff. FlorenceIon.com. And then Ron.
I was just going to say, keep Flow Feed on your bookmarks list because I will be updating more often, especially next week at Google I.O.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Sure you've got a lot to put up there next week. There will be news everywhere. It will be following you around like a puppy. Ron, what about you? What's up?
Yeah, so very exciting that Google I.O. is happening next week. I will not be there, but we have a great show lined up. I will not be on it. So I'm going to take next week off, and I'm going to work on my side project, making babies smile.
Yes.
Which I'm getting quite good at. I'm
getting
quite good at.
It's a pretty worthwhile project, so. I have to say.
Yeah, it's a good side project. So, and I'll be back in 2 weeks and looking forward to talking about I.O. and doing all the fun stuff. Follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. So.
I have to ask you, Game of Thrones finale, do you think you're going to cover that on Finale Podcast?
Maybe.
Maybe someday.
Maybe
someday.
Right, stay tuned.
Just putting that out there. It would be a very timely episode, let's just say.
It sure would.
So Ron did mention that next week is a little different. It is, in fact, different. We will not have a live show next Tuesday because, we will be at Google I.O. We do have some great interviews planned to be recorded from Google Wednesday morning. on the campus. We're going to be talking to some people from the keynotes, and we're really looking forward to that. So more information when you get that episode. Maybe we'll tweet something about it, you know, while we're doing it or whatever. But really looking forward to it. I always love the opportunity to talk to the Android brass, as it were, and get to the heart of the announcements that they make on stage. So I'm looking forward to that. And both Flo and I will be involved in that. We can't wait for Google I.O. Mm-hmm. So, and also, if you happen to be at Google I.O. and you happen to just notice us, you know, walking around or whatever, please say hello. Every once in a while after Google I.O., I'll get emails or tweets from people that are like, I saw you there, but I didn't want to bother you or whatever. It's like, No, just say hello. It's awesome talking to everyone. And, yeah, it would be great to meet you if you happen to be there.
I.O. is like the perfect collaboration of just nerds everywhere.
Yeah, everybody there is there for the same reason, because we're all geeking out on the same
stuff. You can talk to anyone at I.O. and I think you'll have a good time.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to it. It's always fun. Victor, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate your help, as always.
No problem.
Thank you, Victor.
Despite what Ron says, I think more people know my It's Gonna Be May reference than they're admitting.
That they're willing to admit. That's the question.
It's going to be May.
Possibly so. I can't tell if Alex would admit it or not. Would you admit it, Alex? No, he wouldn't admit it. Or maybe he's just shaking his head. No, he has no idea what.
Yeah, I'm just happy Alex is there watching. Yeah. I'm not
gonna admit it, never. He'll never admit it. Never. Not
You can
not
join
over
him in the audience,
body.
By the way, if you email tickets.
That's right. Join Alex. Sit in front of him as he stares at his computer. But that is it for this week. Leave us voicemails, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv, and we'll read them in a couple of weeks when we're actually reading emails. On Twitter, we are at Android Show. We have the Arena Apps list at twit.to/AndroidApps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. That's where you're going to find everything you need to know about this show. All past episodes, video links, audio links, subscribe links for your podcast catcher of choice. Everything is there. Even a link to the wiki. Everything. So go to there. twit.tv/AAA. And that's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
How did we get this on the...
I'm jealous.